Please rise for the Holy Gospel. Listen to God's word. It's found this morning in the Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 13, beginning with verse 24. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, then went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these seeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together unto the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is in the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, there where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I am always humbled by the talented voices that are a part of our regular chancel choir. Once again this morning, we heard God speak to us through Brother Jim and his bass baritone instrument. We thank you so much. Whenever I have the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock services, I have two different messages. I spoke this morning at 8 o'clock on live soul therapy. We had a lot of fun with our culture's obsession with youth and all the things we do and all the money we spend to look different than the Lord made us. This meditation is a little different. In God's most holy name, amen. It was 4 o'clock in the morning on an already hot and humid July day, very much like this one. I was 12 years old. My father woke me once again, as he did every morning, at 4 o'clock. We had 20,000 chickens to feed and water at several farms. This had to be done before the sun came up. And he had to be in his office in his Purina feed mill. I would be there with him and my mother, who was the business secretary. July was wheat season. Before noon, farmers had gone into their fields, hand-rubbed a cup of wheat grain, bought it into the mill for moisture testing. If it tested good enough, moisture low enough, as the afternoon sun took over, combines would make their way through the fields, harvesting the ripened wheat. Then from late afternoon and well into the night, farmers across the valley would bring their day's wheat harvest into the mill. Pickup trucks, straight bed tandem trucks, 18-wheeler tractor trailers, tractors of all kinds, small, medium, large, pulling wagons of all lengths filled to the brim with wheat. Everything would be weighed full, moisture rechecked, then the wheat loaded in the large bins located in the inside the huge mill. Everything then would be reweighed empty, determining the exact weight of the harvested wheat. The wheat in the bins would eventually, although almost immediately, be blown by a powerful wheat blower into railroad boxcars. Inside those boxcars was me, shoveling to both far ends of the boxcar wheat that the blower could not send there. Every wheat season, my father's mill filled 30 or more railroad boxcars with freshly harvested wheat. It was sent to grain brokers in Philadelphia, where commodity brokers would determine where it would be sent to domestic places or overseas. And every morning that I would wake up, my eyes and nose were pasted shut with wheat dust from the night before I had spent to midnight in the railroad cars. Have you ever looked at a field of wheat? There is nothing quite as beautiful as a field of wheat ripened, ready to harvest, its golden hue stretching as far as the eyes can see, winds moving its surface like the surface of the sea. If you look closer, amid all that harvest-ready golden wheat are weeds. Farmers know the weeds are there. Getting rid of them is another matter altogether. I mean, how can we tell the difference between wheat and weeds? Well, wheat grows in rows the farmer plants. Weeds are scattered everywhere, especially between the rows. We all love rules, and those who follow the rules, wheat follows the rules. Wheat follows the farmer's rules. It grows where the farmer plants. Weeds don't follow the rules. Weeds are renegades. They grow where they want to grow, however they want to grow. Another difference is in looks. Wheat looks the same. A head with seeds or grains, a beard and chaff. Weeds. The weeds have their special look. Some are like vines. Others have pretty flowers and are enticing. Still others grow like camouflage. They look like wheat when they're young, changing their appearance as they mature. Another difference is that the farmer's planting becomes a crop and is harvested as a crop and sold. Not so with wheat. Some wheats multiply, expelling their seeds through the air to many different places. Other weeds spread through the wildlife who eat them and then trail for miles and miles, expelling the seed from their mouths or in their droppings. Weeds, in general, have a deep root system, making it almost impossible to completely eradicate them. For the farmer needing a high yield per acre, how to fight the weeds is a dilemma, important dilemma to be solved. Weeds always negatively impact the bushels per acre yield at harvest time, which the farmer will be paid for. Now, herbicides can be used, but these often destroy only one kind of weed. Others often go unaffected. Spraying also negatively impacts natural predators such as ladybugs, moths, bees, and birds. The farmer, of course, can cultivate, enriching the soil with oxygen and adding natural fertilizers. The best way to have a strong and thick wheat crop, the wheat will cover almost all the ground, leaving little room for the weeds to grow. Weeds suck away precious water from the wheat, depriving it of important ingredients, producing smaller heads and smaller kernels, thus reducing the farmer's per acre yield. And remember, two things determine the price the farmer will receive: the number of bushels and their quality or the size of the grain. The farmer knows that some weeds cannot be destroyed without destroying the wheat. The farmer realizes that in the end, the wheat and the weeds will be sorted out. In Jesus' day, as it is in our own time, wheat was important to everyone. It was important to the overall economy and to everyone's life. Everyone knew about wheat, and everyone was aware of the weed problem. Jesus used the general knowledge everyone had of wheat and weeds to make a wheat and weeds into a metaphor. In the metaphor, wheat represents the children of God. Weeds represents the fake children of God. Those pretending to be wheat, growing right there in the middle where the real wheat is. The real children of God are growing and serving the fake children of God, damage the harvest. And they damage the amount and the quality of the discipleship of the genuine children of God. Well, you can imagine if you heard this story for the first time, the first reaction is to pull out, kick out, destroy the weeds quickly. This makes sense. We've got to save the wheat crop. We've got to save the fellowship of the congregation, of the church. Let's kick out the weeds real quick. Well, as farmers know, getting rid of weeds isn't that easy. Sometimes you just got to tolerate them. And anyhow, early on, wheat and weeds can look alike. I mean, they can look the same. So be careful in patiently, rashly pulling out the weeds may actually be pulling out the wheat too. You don't want to do that. Jesus says, be careful, be careful, be careful. Weeds can be wheat. Wheat can be weeds. I will call him Jake. He was known as Mr. Methodist, a maker of bishops. He helped manage the pension fund of the United Methodist Church. If you go to Brooklyn, New York, you will see his name on a major wing of a hospital that he financed through his own monies. Jake was wheat. Wheat, pure wheat. Only time changed him. As he grew older, Jake had become a narrow, vindictive, selfish man. His very substantial five-figure annual giving was his weapon of power. He demanded everything to be his way. Jake became an obstacle to every possibility the church had to move into its future. My associate, a former district superintendent, for those who know the Episcopal Church, that's like a surrogate bishop, was a close friend of Jake. And finally he sat down, he addressed what had become Jake's childish way of getting his own way through temper tantrums and congregational power play. Jake the wheat had become Jake the weed. What to do? Well, nothing dramatic could be done. Over time, his power was taken away from him. His tantrums were ignored. He was told his money wasn't needed. The congregation could just adjust without it. And finally, Jake left for South Carolina. Wheat can be weeds. Weeds can be wheat. Jim was his name. Many quietly, secretly saw Jim as a weed. University trained, graduate of Clemson University in South Carolina. His son was executive director of the National Governors Association. Jim and his wife lived in a small plot of land in a very small, humble clapboard house that spoke of their impoverished reality. Jim was an alcoholic, smoking an old gnarled briar pipe with Prince Albert tobacco pressed into its bowl. He would come and go here and there. Often Jim would show up at church meetings with a chew in his cheek, with small dribbles of Red Man tobacco juice running down in jagged paths through the short whiskers of his chin and then off. Jim had about 3 acres, 3/4 an acre of tillable land. Every spring he would plant, every spring, vegetables of all kinds. And Jim, a university graduate in agriculture, knew how to grow his vegetables. In the mid to late summer, when the planting's harvest was at hand, he would load as many vegetables as his old beat-up pickup could hold. Jim would drive into Baltimore's West Side ghetto, park his truck on a corner, stay there as long as it took to give everything away to anyone who wanted it. He would do this every week, as long as he had fresh vegetables to give away. And Jim had done this for years. For some, he was a weed. But many came to see and understand Jim as wheat in a very special kind of way. A colleague related to me that some years ago something terrible had happened to him. In serving a multi-church parish, one of the three congregations did not like him. He wore a robe which they said smacked of Roman Catholicism. This was during the height of the Vietnam conflict and following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he talked about the great moral and social issues of the day relating him to the Bible, and they told him that politics wasn't supposed to be talked about in church. My colleague told me that often when he drove past the houses on the narrow lane leading eventually through that country church, children would throw stones at his car, making obscene gestures. His wife in an open church meeting was called a Jezebel. One early Sunday morning, he made his way to the church for the worship service. He noticed only one car outside. Walking in, he found no one at first. The lights were out. As his eyes adjusted to the dim light, he saw an elderly woman sitting in the corner. Nearing her, he could see in the dim light tears running down her cheeks. "Pastor," she said, "no one wants to worship with you anymore. They don't like you. They can't wait for you and your family to leave. They won't come to worship anymore until you and your family are gone." My colleague shared with me that the elderly woman, dressed in an old, worn, yet carefully pressed black dress, her long gray hair pulled back and rolled into a bun the top of her head, wept as she apologized. "My friends, I've known them for years, have forgotten Jesus. They've forgotten how to be open of heart, mind, and soul to difference." Looking to my friend through the tears, she said, "You are different, but I believe Jesus is in you, and you are doing what Jesus wants you to do. I'm so sorry. Please forgive us. I'm so sorry." The summer woman experienced by my colleague was wheat. Pure, authentic wheat. The others, wheat, who were really weeds incognito. My colleague smiled at me and asked, "You want to know what happened?" Well, of course I did. Almost 10 years later, I received a late night phone call. It was the lay leader of that congregation. He was asking me back to be the preacher of a special homecoming event. "Will you come?" he asked. My colleague answered yes. He was welcomed back like a long-lost son. Open arms, hugs, kisses. He heard many "I'm sorry" that evening. And somehow that elderly, dignified woman over the years, by the sheer power of her faith and its living example, had managed to turn all those fake children of God into real children of God. Her great faith and its example, those weeds had become wheat. My colleague shared with me that he preached that evening about God's great love for them, Jesus' overflowing love for them, and his love for each and every one of them. And sadly, the elder woman had died about a year before. He shared with me that he had experienced one of the best days of his decades-long ministry that night in that tiny church that 10 years before had thrown him and his family out. Weeds will always be mixed with wheat. Some weeds can be eliminated. Some weeds can be squeezed out. Still, other weeds will be there. Nothing can be done about it. And remember, some wheat are weeds incognito. And sometimes weeds turn out to be wheat, and other times wheat turns out to be wheat. So be very careful pulling out the weeds, lest the wheat be harmed as well. As I drive along the rural roads in late spring, early summer, in my valley in central Pennsylvania, every time I see a field of wheat nearing its harvest time, I think of my father. My mind goes back to yesterday. It is 4 o'clock in the morning. My eyes and nose pasted shut from wheat dust. He wakens me to feed and water the 20,000 chickens. I find myself lost again in the near blinding dust of the box tower, wheat being blown into its bowels as this barely 12-year-old boy shovels this way and that way the wheat to its far corners. I see again the men who taught me how to work all day long by measuring my pace. Men who taught me by their example about the sacramental quality of manual labor. I hear again the farmers bragging about their tractors and trucks, talking trash about government, saying repeatedly words a 12-year-old boy shouldn't ever have to hear, but always remember. I see the soiled clothes, smell the manure on their boots. Notice their perspiration-stained bib overhauls. And recall once again hearing how much they love their farming and their way of life. And as I look at all those golden rows of ripened wheat, I see weeds. Weeds are always there. Farmers knew that when my father shipped their wheat out, the grain refinery at the ultimate destination would separate the weeds from the wheat. The wheat, the children of God, are everywhere. They make real God's word an authority, and the weeds, the fake children of God, they're everywhere too. They obstruct God's word, they lessen its power, they lessen its goodness and its justice. In the end, every farmer knows the wheat will be separated from the wheat. Jesus tells us that the wheat, the children of God, and their harvest of goodness and justice will be separated from the wheat. Goodness and justice will prevail. Evil, the weeds, will be cast aside. Sometimes I stop the car, I get out, and lean on, arms folded. I look at the golden field of ripened wheat soon to be harvested. I stand there for a long time. I remember my father. And those men who taught me how to work. The colorful, full of life farmers. I recall the dust-filled railroad boxcar with a 12-year-old boy in it somewhere shoveling into the night. And as I remember the wheat, remember the weeds.